The text selected for us today is Psalm 23, and I would ask that you would join me in reading it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Please be seated. As we were reminded in the chapel homily on Monday, the 23rd Psalm is one of the best known passages in Scripture. I suspect that many of us didn't even need to see it printed here this morning. We could have probably just recited it. It is certainly appropriate then that this Psalm written by King David serves as a key foundational element to describe Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Its imagery has been conveyed in countless ways, in multiple artistic media and representations, not just in recent times, but from the early church as well. While the poetry is elegant and the images are aesthetically appealing, this psalm digs much deeper. It's not surprising, then, that representations of the Good Shepherd appear, for example, in the catacombs in Rome, or in mosaics, for example, in Ravenna, Italy, that date back more than, almost 1,600 years ago. Just as an aside, if you have the opportunity to be on Professor Bukowski's art tour, you'll probably have a chance to see this mosaic. A significant number of Christian homes today have a copy of a painting of the Good Shepherd by the 19th century German artist Plockhorst. I was in one of those homes. I grew up in one of those homes. It depicts Jesus, staff in one hand, a little lamb cradled in the other arm, surrounded by sheep, one of which is expectantly looking up to the shepherd. I can still remember it very vividly. I know exactly where it hung in our home. The image of the Good Shepherd appeals to the entire spectrum of life, whether it's from a little child who is learning to sing, "I am Jesus' little lamb," or an adult who finds himself or herself in a desperate situation, like the reports of hearing it recited in the dark stairwells of the Twin Towers on 9/11, or an elderly person speaking portions of this psalm while waiting to soon meet the shepherd face to face. Even today in our society, which is far removed from the literal elements of the shepherd and his flock, we continue to resonate with these images. Few of us have seen or experienced sheep, maybe except in a petting zoo, and yet the comforting images of Jesus as the Good Shepherd are still readily recognizable. From the time of Moses, the motif of God as a shepherd has been well known to God's people. David, of course, was surrounded by these images And he had firsthand experience shepherding as a boy, even as he was anointed by Saul to be the next king of Israel. Raising sheep was an important part of life then, both in general and for David in particular. And for both Moses and David, their prior experience as a shepherd was symbolic of their later roles as leaders of God's people. In addition, in the ancient Near East, the shepherd served as a metaphor for kings. So it's no accident that David, as king, acknowledges the Lord as his shepherd king. The hymn verses we just sang here just a few minutes ago draw attention to Jesus as both shepherd and king. Today I would like to focus on just a single verse of Psalm 23. That's verse 4, where we read, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There's a subtle, yet I dare say significant shift in the change of the pronoun from he or his that's used in the preceding three verses of this psalm to the use of you or your here in verse 4. That shift emphasizes a more personal, intimate description of the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. And rightly so. As we travel through life, or as one commentator put it, wander through life, Jesus is right there beside us, both in good and particularly in bad times. Throughout life, we travel through a valley of darkness. Troubles, trials, and temptations surround us. These assaults come in many forms. And it's easy for us to be afraid, isn't it? What is it you fear today? Is it fear of rejection? Fear of failure? Fear of a debilitating disease? Or simply fear of the unknown? There's no doubt that David experienced any or all of these fears, but he takes it one step farther, where he says, "I will fear no evil." David had ample experience with this as well. He stood face to face before the Philistine champion Goliath, who was multiple times his size and strength. He was pursued by King Saul, who wanted him dead as he grew more paranoid about David following him as king. At one point, Saul was within inches of him while David was hiding in a cave. Later on, even his own son Absalom sought to kill him. David knew evil, but he is confident when he says, "I will fear no evil." Why? It was because of the shepherd's rod and staff that comforted him. It wasn't David's cunning, strength, or perseverance that took away his fear. It was the Lord. On our own, we have no power over the fear of evil. In that way, we are like the sheep that was described here in Wednesday's chapel homily, simple-minded even among the animals. As the commentator Franzmann put it, human ingenuity and resources are unable to cope with the grim realities of life. We are helpless, just like sheep. God's word, however, clearly and faithfully guides us through the valley of death, or as some would translate it, the valley of darkness. His word serves as the staff. It guides us through our entire life in this valley, providing a wide variety of assistance for all of our earthly needs. Paul tells us in the second in his second letter to the young pastor Timothy, where we read, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, and for instruction in righteousness." This is all that we need as we travel or wander, as it were, throughout life, and as we come to life's end, it's not surprising that David's psalm is particularly meaningful. Certainly we have the comfort of our shepherd's presence as he watches for our earthly needs, but it is our eternal need that carries the most importance. Christ's complete work assures us that of our redemption from our sin. Through his life, death, and resurrection, he has conquered our biggest enemy, the devil, and the consequence of our sin, death. Because of this, our cup now overflows, and we truly are comforted to know that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because of this, we can confidently join the hymn writer where he says, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me." We are the helpless, but he is the Shepherd King. So whatever trials or fears come our way, whether they be the uncertainty of finding a job after graduation, uncertain finances, declining health, or relationship concerns, any of these, may these words be a constant source of comfort for each of us. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, out of your fatherly goodness, you have been mindful of us poor, miserable sinners, and have given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we also may know him, and trusting in him, seek help and comfort in him. From our hearts obey his voice and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
And now may the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be and abide with you.